I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Deeply Rooted with me, your host, Sinazo Goss. This is a podcast where we discuss and delve deeper into the intimate conversations we all have with our Heavenly Father. Welcome to it, beloved. Welcome to yet another episode of Deeply Rooted. Thank you so much for tuning in and your consistency. Thank you for sharing the links. Thank you for just putting the word out there that Deeply Rooted is a podcast and it is literally transforming people's lives. It's drawing people closer to the Lord. And we are literally a community that helps each other grow in our relationships with God. So thank you so much. Welcome to it. This week won't be any different. And thank you to everyone who is here for the first time. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the family. We pray and we believe that your life will be transformed and that you will grow in your faith and in your knowledge of God. And we trust and believe that your life will not be the same again. And to everyone who's been here from day one, from the start until now, we just want to say we see you, we appreciate you, and we just pray that God keeps increasing you, he keeps blessing you, and he keeps just helping you through the work that we produce here at Deeply Rooted. So welcome to it, beloved. Good news, we are growing as a family immensely. We are now housed under the Sowetan. So if you want to search us up, look us up, there's usually an article that accompanies the link to Iono, which then is this podcast. So that is a great achievement. That is a great milestone for us as a family because it means we are reaching a wider South African audience. So we thank God for that. We glorify his name for that. And we don't take it lightly, you know, so... Yeah, so thank you so much to everyone that is listening far and wide from here in Gauteng, from outside Gauteng. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So this week we will be talking about a topic that has been placed in my spirit and in my heart by God. And it's something that has been revealed to me, I think, in episodes, if I can put it that way, in my walk with Christ, you know, because when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you probably hear about it at church, or it's something that you were raised by, you know, by your family, or you just were convicted by the Holy Spirit without hearing it from anyone necessarily, you know. So when you come into the faith, when you receive Christ, when you prioritize, when you choose that, okay, you know what, now I'm surrendering my life to God and I'll prioritize my life and my relationship with God, you tend to have questions, right? You tend to have questions about so many things, and God welcomes questions. And you know what? The Holy Spirit is the best teacher. The Bible describes him as a teacher, you know, so he teaches us, he guides us to all truth. So questions are very much welcome. This is not a cult. I have to just put that out there, because a cult is where you're not allowed to ask anything. You just take everything as it is given to you. But one thing that sets our faith apart is the fact that you are allowed to ask questions. We have a very loving father, a very receptive father who gives answers, you know. So if you have questions about anything, there's nothing that's off limits. God can literally give you answers, you know, in many different ways, through his word, through people, through how people communicate with you. So that's the kind of God that we serve. And I've also had questions, a question that a lot of people have had, a controversial one, if I may. So I will be talking, just if I could put a title to what I'll be talking about today, is basically the history of Christianity, or the history of the Christian faith in Africa, particularly in Africa. And we can further narrow it down to say in South Africa, right? So this is a deeply historical episode. It's not a part, like, because I can't separate history from spirituality, which is what Deeply Rooted is about, right? I cannot separate the two. So they definitely go hand in hand, because the knowledge I have here is not only based on study, but also based on the counsel and also the teaching of the Holy Spirit after my consultations, after the questions that I posed in my walk with God, right? As I said, beloved, nothing wrong with asking questions, especially if it comes from a place of genuinely wanting to know and broaden your knowledge, right? The Holy Spirit is very receptive. He teaches. He wants you to be someone who has knowledge. I mean, the Bible says, my people perish. There's a part in the Bible where God says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. So God wants us to be people that study. He wants us to be people that are knowledgeable. He doesn't want us to just be people that, you know, walk blindly. You know, yes, we are called to faith, but you have faith in what you know. And what you know is the Word of God, and you study the Word of God in order for you to have knowledge of that particular topic or thing that God is teaching in that particular passage of Scripture, right? So I'll be talking about the history of the gospel of the Christian faith in our continent, Africa, right? And as I said, as you guys probably do know, this is a very controversial topic because a lot of people are under the impression or have the notion that it is a very colonial faith or colonial belief. And that's why a lot of people shy away from it, because they feel like it came with white people and it came with a lot of oppression, because, I mean, obviously colonization was oppression, right? So I will just be putting all of that into context and bringing light to, based on what I've studied, based on what I've researched, and also based on what the Holy Spirit and God has taught me in my journey with Christ, right? So to start off, I will be reading a passage in the book of Acts. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 8, from verse 26. The book of Acts, yeah, I'm just trying to look it up, guys. So sorry if I sound distracted, but yeah. So it's the book of Acts, chapter 8, from verse 26 to verse 40, right? So it reads as follows. So the title of this passage I'll be reading, it says, Christ is preached to an Ethiopian, right? So now this is the book of Acts. Before I get into it, book of Acts, as some of you may know, is a book where the disciples were left, okay, not alone, but Jesus had ascended to heaven at this time, right? He had ascended to heaven and he had given the disciples a mission to preach the gospel and make Jesus known in every nation, basically. So here, the book of Acts basically documents all the events that took place after Jesus ascended and he left the disciples to preach to many nations. So this is one of the occurrences that happened in the book of Acts, right? So book of Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40, right? At the top, the title says in other versions, Philip and the Ethiopian, right? Then it says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Verse 32. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So I just read a whole chapter, beloved, as you can hear. I read a whole chapter about this eunuch, right? Eunuch is, as this passage explained, a eunuch is someone basically who is an important person who serves the queen of Ethiopia, particularly. Ethiopia is in East Africa, right? We are well aware of this. Ethiopia is in our continent of Africa. And the events that took place in the book of Acts happened in the early church. So this is very early, I think probably in the first century, right? Long, long, long time ago. So Philip was one of the apostles, one of the disciples, right? And he basically was led by the Spirit of God, by an angel, to go speak to this eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, right? And that's where he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Just to summarize what I just read here. So this guy had gone to Jerusalem, which is in Israel, and then now he was on his way back home to Ethiopia, right? So on his way home, he met Philip, who then preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. He got baptized, he got born again and received Christ as his Lord and Savior, and then he went to Ethiopia, right? So that's how the country of Ethiopia received the gospel in a nutshell. That's how they received Jesus Christ and the message of Christ and the Christian faith, right? And that's Ethiopia, beloved. Ethiopia, as I said, as we know, is here in Africa, right? And basically, it is believed by a lot of writers and a lot of historians. For example, historians during the early church or during the early times, like in the first century, around those years, it is recorded by historians like him that, you know, the encounter that this eunuch had with Philip, you know, is what birthed the gospel and the Christian faith in Ethiopia and spread it to Ethiopia, right? Because just to give a background, as we know, Jesus, he was born by Mary, who is from the nation of Israel, but Jesus wasn't born like any other person was born. You know, we know how, you know, the birth of Jesus happened and how the pregnancy of Mary happened. So basically, we know that Jesus is God personified. He's God in human form, God the Son, right? So because the nation of Israel was God's chosen nation, where he chose to reveal himself first, that's where Jesus came from. But his message and the faith and the way to God and us being restored to God wasn't only limited to the nation of Israel, because, I mean, that's why Jesus had to come. That's why Jesus had to sacrifice his life and do what he did on the cross, so that people like this Ethiopian eunuch could receive the gospel because of what Jesus had done on the cross, right? So, for example, it is known by many people, especially people who have really done studying in their history, it is known that the Ethiopian eunuch church is known as the first Christian missionary in Africa. It is known as the first Christian church, the first place, in fact, the entire country of Ethiopia is known as the very first place to receive the gospel and the message of Christ, right? And historically, we also know that Ethiopia was not colonized. That's another fact to take into consideration, that Ethiopia was never colonized. Out of the many countries, including South Africa, which were colonized, Ethiopia received the gospel without ever being colonized. So it was God's intention for the eunuch to go to Jerusalem and receive the gospel that he received there, and then he brought it to Ethiopia, right? As we know, some people even say the oldest Bible you will find in Ethiopia, because the very first person in the very first country in Africa to receive the gospel was Ethiopia. So that is the first point I would like to just put out there, right? And now to take it home, to bring it home, rather, there was a prophet, people who did history would know this, there was a prophet, a Xhosa prophet particularly, and his name was Ntsikana, right? So Ntsikana was a prophet, and he received a prophecy which then led him to convert to the Christian faith, right? And people who have studied the history of Ntsikana would tell you that he was not at all influenced by European colonization, because he very much believed in his roots. He believed that Christ and God can literally be understood by people from all walks of life. You don't necessarily have to be influenced by, you know, European roots or European colonization or anything of that sort, right? So according to records, historical records, it differs how Ntsikana's vision actually looked like. You know, some people say, historians, that is, some people say Ntsikana received a vision where he saw people with a book that has red lips. I don't know if I can put it that way. But in isiXhosa, it's apparently said that Utata Ntsikana said, "Kuzawuza abantu bephethe incwadi enomlomo obomvu, right? So that's the kind of vision he had, but without having been influenced by any European missionaries or colonizers who came to preach to him, right? And then that's basically how his journey, you know, in being a prophet and in converting to Christianity and receiving Christ as his Lord and Savior, right? As I said, it is not exactly clear how his vision looked like. You know, it's not exactly clear in historical records how the vision of Funzikana looked like, right? But it is very much known that he received a vision apart from any European influence, which then led him to believing in Christ, right? And he gained a lot of traction. This was in the 1700s now. Gained a lot of traction. He had a lot of followers, and he was known for hosting prayers 2 times a day. And he stood very much for pacifism, which is basically being against wars of any kind, you know, not justifying wars of any kind. And he believed that if there's any disagreements between nations or between people, it can be sorted through peace, you know, not without any fighting or anything of that nature, you know. So what's very important to note is that he wasn't influenced by any European missionary or colonizer, because he was very deeply rooted. See what I did there? But yeah, he was very rooted in himself and in his Xhosa views, right? In his Xhosa roots, right? Knowing that he can compose, because he wrote a lot of hymns, by the way, very old hymns, and which are still powerful and still very meaningful in the churches and to people who are believers, you know, to this day and age. You know, he believed that you can do that in your own home language. He believed that you don't necessarily have to be, you know, colonized in order for you to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, he even referred to Christ as, you know, let me just see. There's a part where I saw how he referred to Christ. He was someone who, yeah, as I'm looking for it, let me just put it as clear again. He was someone who was very rooted in who he was and in basically in just remaining true to himself as a Xhosa man, right? He was a son of a chief. He had 2 wives. And I think he did let go of one of his wives in an attempt to be obedient to the word of God, which says stick to one wife. But yeah, but he basically referred to Jesus Christ as the mighty leader who provides guidance and protection, right? So that is a very important part to note, that he was a very rooted, Xhosa-rooted guy from a royal family. And him being from a royal family received the prophecy that he received, which is not as clear, you know, based on historical records. But it is very much known that he was very rooted in who he is, not necessarily influenced by Europeanism or colonization. He received a personal conviction and a personal prophecy, which converted him to being a Christ follower, right? And he believed in Jesus Christ. He believed in his sovereignty as God, you know. So he's known as one of the greatest authors of, you know, great hymns. For example, there's a song titled Nkulothixo Omkhulu. It was sung by Joy Celebration in their recent albums, but it was written by him like many years ago, because he lived in the 1700s, for example, you know. So this basically goes to show that the example that I made about Ethiopia and the example that I'm making about Utatu Nzikana, these are people from Africa who were not influenced by any European or colonial influence or impact. You know, they had convictions and encounters of their own. And having those encounters, they then preached the gospel to their people. You know, the eunuch from the early church in Ethiopia, he then went to Ethiopia and expanded the gospel and ensured that the message of Jesus Christ is preached in Ethiopia from the encounter that he had with Philip when he went to Jerusalem, right? And then Tatu Nzikana received a prophecy, right? He received a prophecy. He was converted to being a Christ follower without any European influence, without any colonial influence, because he was deeply rooted in who he was. You know, he didn't really believe in being influenced by European views or anything of that sort in order for him to receive Christ, because he received Christ as an individual, as someone who had an encounter with him, you know. So that is very important to note, beloved. This is from a historical standpoint. This is from studies. And it's also from what the Holy Spirit has revealed to me in my walk with him and in my study of the Word of God and the records shown in the Word of God, because there's so many historical and scientific books and studies that were made, you know, to support that which is written in the Bible, many parts that are written in the Bible. You know, there's other secondary books and studies that were made to prove the trueness of the accounts recorded in the Bible, you know. So part of the things that I like saying when I have conversations about these kind of things to people is that the songs that these kind of people wrote, for example, or Dadu, because there was also another Christian writer and preacher back in those days in the 1800s, Udadu Tiyosoka, he wrote the song that we all know, Liza Lise Dingalako, which is a very well-known Xhosa hymn, and it's still sung to this day. That's like 200 years later, you know, over 200 years later. And that shows the kind of encounter those people had with God, you know, the kind of personal relationship and personal convictions they had with God and the zeal they also had with God. Because, for example, Dadu Tiyosoka is one of the people that translated the Bible into isiXhosa, you know. So it's very, very important to note that God literally ensured that people have encounters with him personally. People have encounters with the Holy Spirit, you know, personally, without being influenced by any colonial rule, by any European influence or anything of that sort. And just to make it clear again, right? The message of Christ does not in any way come from Europe. Like, if you know your history, like putting the Bible aside, you know, if we would have a discussion purely based on history, we would know that the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, he was God in human form, born to Mary, who was Israelite, right? Israel is in the Middle East, right? God, because he's God and because he chooses the nations he wants to choose, he chose Israel to be his chosen nation, not because they were special, not because of anything, right? His chosen nation where he revealed himself first, not because he had favorites or whatever, no, but because he knew that he wanted to reveal himself to them first, and then through Christ, everyone else in the world, including us, Africans and us Africans, could then have access to him and have a relationship with him because of Jesus Christ. Because, I mean, the Bible says that no one can go to God except through Christ. Even people who are Jew, even people who are from Israel, Jesus Christ is the common denominator to all of us who call themselves, you know, believers, you know, who call themselves people who have a relationship with Christ and have given their lives to God, right? So that's just the disclaimer that I wanted to make, and that is just something I wanted to clear the air on, because it's something that a lot of people don't really understand that much. And if you do some study, you will get the facts, you know, around these kind of things, and the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you, you know, just to give you clarity, you know. So in all of these things that we, all of these examples that I just gave, one thing that we can see is that God was very much intentional with ensuring that the gospel and the Christian faith reaches Africa, you know, whether it's through the eunuch in Ethiopia, whether it was through the prophet Ntsikana, who was not influenced by any European colonialism or anything, but an encounter he had with Jesus Christ, you know. So God was very intentional. And I always say to people that even if South Africa was never colonized, God, in his promise and in what he wanted to achieve, which is ensuring that the gospel reaches all nations, the gospel was going to reach South Africa anyway, in any way, whether it was going to be through someone traveling from Ethiopia to South Africa and preaching the gospel to us, we were going to receive it at the end, because God's mandate was always the gospel needs to reach each and every country, each and every nation, no matter what way, no matter what way. Guys, English is literally slapping me. But in no matter which way or through anyone, it receives the gospel. Like the countries, no matter how they receive the gospel, but God wanted us to ultimately receive the message of Christ so that we are restored to him, so that we have Jesus, and through him we can go to him, we can go to God and, you know, have a relationship with him, you know. So that's just the main point, you know. whether it was through European influence, which it wasn't, as I've clarified here through the examples I gave. But in any way, I believe that I would have been saved, because the Bible also says, you know, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says, before God laid the foundations of the earth, he called us to be his. He called us. He wanted us to be saved. He wanted us to be born again. So it was his plan from long ago, from very long ago, from even before he created heaven and earth, you know, he wanted us to be his. So he was going to make a way. Either way, you know, so that is just something I wanted to clear, that it is not what people call a white man's religion. It is not a colonial faith. It is God's plan and purpose for each and everyone on earth, each and every person on earth. God had mandated that he wanted to be intentional, even through these encounters that the Ethiopian guy had and through the prophet Nzigana, for example, had. It shows God's intentionality. It shows that God was very intentional about, you know, making sure that we as Africans, as South Africans, receive the gospel and we hear the message of Christ, so that through him we can have access to God. We can have access to an abundant and an eternal life in God. You know, so it was God's intention from the beginning. I mean, Jesus says it, for example, in the book of John chapter 10, verse 14 to 16. Jesus says, I'll just read it quickly. It just shows, basically, beloved, how God was intentional, you know, even before these examples that I gave right now, you know, because I just gave two examples of the Ethiopian guy and also the Xhosa prophet in Nzigana, right? But even before that, right, in the book of John chapter 10, verse 14 to 16, listen to what Jesus is saying here. So he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Right? So as you can see, verse 16 makes it very clear. This is Jesus saying, I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So Jesus here was basically referring to people that are not of the people he was talking to at the time, because at the time he was referring or teaching to an Israelite audience, right? Because that's where his ministry happened, right? So now he's talking about other sheep which are not part of that sheepfold, which is us, because we are not Israelite. We are Africans, we are Asians, you know, Americans, people from basically all over the world, but outside of Israel. So now he was saying that people who are not Israelite are also his sheep. He's got sheep that he still has to fetch. Basically, that's what he was saying, that I'm still going to die. Obviously, he didn't put it like in detail, but in a nutshell, what he was saying is, I'm still going to die. And through my death and my resurrection, people that are not of this sheepfold, people that do not belong to the nation of Israel, are going to receive my message of salvation. And through my death and resurrection, people who are African, people who are Asian, American, are going to receive this message. And through this message, their lives are going to be transformed. They are going to form part of my flock. They are going to be my sheep. I will be their shepherd. They will hear my voice, right? That speaks of relationship. So Jesus was clarifying here that I'm going to fetch everyone. You know, the gospel is going to reach all parts of the world, all nations, you know, and that's my mandate. I want everyone to partake in this life that I died and rose for. You know, I want everyone to have abundant life. I want everyone to have eternal life. I want everyone to have a new identity, to walk in authority, you know. So Jesus literally had this in mind. It wasn't just a coincidence. You know, it wasn't a coincidence that the Ethiopian eunuch had that encounter with Philip. It wasn't a coincidence that Utatu Nzigana had that prophecy. God had ordained it long before. God had wanted people from all walks of life, in all nations, in all tribes, in all races, to receive the message of Jesus Christ, right? And another part in scripture that I'd like us to just look at quickly is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. It also just shows God's intentionality, because the main point of all of this, beloved, you know, this entire chapter that I've been reading and these examples I was making, it just shows, you know, the main point and the main nutshell, if I can put it that way, in a nutshell, basically. God was very much intentional about each and every one and each and every nation. And he wanted all of us to be partakers in the life, you know, that Jesus died and rose again for us to have, right? So here it shows just the intentionality of God. You know, it's in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Just give me a second. Ephesians chapter 1, right? It's from verse 1 to verse 9. So it reads as follows. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Right? So, let me carry on. I'll come back to that verse. Very, very important. Right? In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ, right? So basically, somewhere in the book of Ephesians, right? Here, okay, first, let's start here. Verse 5 says, as I read, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, right? So he chose us before even creating the world. He knew that Tusnazo, he knew that you, listener of Deeply Rooted, would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When he knocks on your heart, you would say yes and open your heart and receive him as Lord and Savior, right? He knew that even before he created the world, that, you know what, that is going to be my son. That is going to be my daughter, right? So whichever way that the gospel reached the shores of your nation, of your land, of your country, whichever ways it did, right, God knew and God predestined us for sonship in him. He predestined us for heirship, for heirness rather, in him, right? So it just shows, and it goes hand in hand with what Jesus said in the book of John 10 when he said, there are sheep which are not part of this sheepfold that he has to go fetch, which then refers to us as Gentiles, as people who are not necessarily Jewish or Israelite, right? It refers to the fact that he wanted us to be part of his family. He wanted us to be part of, you know, the inheritance that is received through accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And there's also a part in scripture, you know, that speaks of how there's no Jew or Gentile, how there's no differentiation between tribes and races and people who are circumcised or not circumcised, because that is a very important marker for many cultures, you know, on earth, you know. But it just shows that there's no differentiation and there's no line drawn between, you know, people of different tribes and races and nations and all of that, especially when it comes to the body of Christ. We are all equal because the common denominator we all have is Jesus Christ, and we receive our faith through Jesus Christ, because the Bible says we are saved by faith, we are saved by grace through faith, right? So all of this is just based on our faith and in our receiving of the work of the cross that Jesus suffered for, because Jesus suffered and Jesus was beaten. Jesus literally experienced so much torment so that we don't have to, so that we have peace, so that we have access to God, so that through him we can go boldly before the throne of grace and receive help in time of need and receive mercy in time of need. You know, it is such a joy that no matter what happened in history, no matter who received which vision, but God was intentional. That is just the main point of this teaching, that God was intentional about every nation reaching, you know, or every nation rather receiving, you know, the message of Jesus Christ and his transformation and everything he afforded to us through the cross, you know. So that is basically what was laid in my heart for this episode. And I really pray and hope that I try to bring some perspective to you guys on just history. And I would encourage you guys to just do some reading as well, you know, on various historical events that will show you that God was very intentional. God was always intentional. You know, I always say, for example, the founding fathers of Pentecostal churches, for example, your Apostolic Faith Mission, Assemblies of God, they were raised at times where, you know, the gospel wasn't necessarily preached in its pure form, if I can put it that way, but God always raised a man for each generation. Like if you look throughout history, there was people like Michael, Martin. Yeah, that's it. Martin Luther King. People like Martin Luther King. People like Mfundisi Bengu from Assemblies of God. Mfundisi Ngidi from the Apostolic Faith Mission. Like God always raised a man in every nation for every generation to be a light bearer. You know, to be someone who bears good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So God was very, very much intentional. God was intentional to ensure that the gospel is preached in its pure form in all nations. You know, that's why we shouldn't worry about the Great Commission, because as much as we were given a mandate and a responsibility to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but God always makes sure he gives us the resources, he opens the necessary doors, he raises men even after people die, you know, because the people that I mentioned now, all of them have passed, you know, but even to this day, God keeps raising people in each and every time, in each and every generation to preach his message and to make Jesus known and to make sure that people receive the message of Christ. And people are free, because people are in bondage, guys. You know, people are carrying burdens that they don't have to carry because God is available. And through Jesus Christ, you can have a relationship with God by accepting him as your Lord and Savior and giving your life to him. Your life can be transformed, you know, and I'm speaking from experience as someone who has seen the goodness of God, who has seen the fruits of giving your life to Christ and the benefits of it, you know. So it's very, very important to note how intentional God was. You know, you read through history. As I said, guys, I'm encouraging you guys to go through history. There's nothing wrong with it. And trust and believe me, God will lead you, especially if you're praying about it. God will lead you to the right people to get your information from, the right places and parts or avenues to get your research from, or where to do your research in or from. Yeah. But God will lead you to the right place that will show you things that are in line with the Word of God, things that don't contradict the Word of God. I think people get scared of doing research, you know, because they think there may be contradictions. There are no contradictions. You know, the Holy Spirit guides you and leads you to parts and places in history and historical readings and studies and books, you know, that are in line with the Word of God, that show that, you know what, God was intentional from the beginning and all pieces, you know, work together and, you know, they connect, you know, there's dots that connect that lead us to seeing God's original mandate, which is written in his Word. But anyway, that is what we have for you today, beloved. Thank you for coming to my history lesson. And I really just pray that more than anything, you see how intentional God was in calling us to be his and to receive him as Lord and Savior. But anyway, I pray that you guys were blessed and I wish you well. And don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to follow us and keep listening to Iono FM and subscribe to Apple Podcasts and to Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts from. And please tune in to other podcasts which are under Times Live, which are, for example, SL Cabinet, Business Day Spotlight, Taking Rams by the Horns. So there's many more. So please do make sure. Until next time, you are loved, you are treasured, you are precious in your Heavenly Father's sight. God bless.